Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is The Goddess Vibration. Welcome back to our podcast. We're happy to have you today. Today, we are diving in to the ego and what that means. I think, Allie, you said that we talked about ego briefly in another episode. Which one was that?
We did. We talked about ego in spirituality.
Yes. So this perspective on ego is going to be slightly different because we're going to talk about how the ego can stifle you and imprison you, especially when it comes to the need to heal, to do the deeper introspection, and to ascend, because that definitely happens. I can definitely vouch for that. I can also vouch for that on behalf of my twin soul. And it's interesting because I feel like this word also has a clinical definition. So there's, when it comes to the term ego, there's the clinical definition, and then there's like the spiritual definition. And they're similar, but not. So we're going to kind of break those down a little bit and then share a little bit about what it means to be imprisoned by the ego and how you can escape that. So this should be a really interesting discussion today. I'm hoping that this will really help for some of you guys that are feeling stuck or stagnant on your spiritual journey, because I've been there. I felt stuck and stagnant before, not quite sure where to go, not quite sure what else needs to be done. And sometimes all you need to do is get your ego out of the way.
The ego is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people because the ego tells you that you're right, even if you're wrong. And that's a really tricky thing to navigate. It's a really tricky thing to overcome because, especially in today's world, we thrive to be right. We thrive to, you know, to know things and to be correct and not make mistakes. And we want to be the best. And although we should thrive for those things, it you get lost. And I know Tiara's been there. I've been there. Her twin soul's been there. Where we get lost in our ego because we're just like, well, we can figure, like, I'm going to figure this out by myself. It's all like the ego's very like me, 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 I. It's very black and white. It's very this or that. It's very, I'm right, you're wrong. And it can become a very dangerous thing if you have no awareness. And I feel like so many people don't have awareness to their own egos, which is why people get stuck, which is why people are in this stagnant energy of, my life isn't getting any better. It's not going anywhere. And on a spiritual level, energy doesn't respond well to that ego, which is part of the reason why you are stuck.
Yes. And I've actually seen this in a lot of people who feel like they might like turn down coaching, or I know Allie has experienced this where she wants to help people, but they either turn it away or they say it's not necessary right now, or they don't prioritize it, or they're like, oh, I'm fine. I feel like in many cases, that's an expression of the ego, particularly because we all have things about ourselves that we can improve and heal upon. And so if you're seeking support and someone's telling you, hey, you need to do this, and you say, you know, no, that's not my focus right now, I'm going to go on about my business, I feel like that's also one manifestation and representation of what the ego can do and how it can affect you.
Well, the bottom line is that you're never going to be able to force your beliefs. You're never going to be able to force yourself onto other people. But this is where the ego becomes a very tricky thing to navigate, is because I have worked with someone who actually acknowledges, like, hey, I know I have things I need to work on. I know that I'm in this place right now and I want to get better. However, I'm also in this place where I need to know, I need to figure out how to help myself first before I can accept outside help.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is very common with people today. And I don't know where it comes from or why that's there, because navigating your own healing journey is very difficult. Like Tiara and I know this from personal experience, where like we operate very heavily outside of our masculine sides, and we've worked on our ego over the years, but like back when we were starting, we were both like, nope, we're just going to do it all ourselves. And, you know, we didn't want to put money in to get outside help. And I was getting nowhere. Like, to say I was getting nowhere by myself is totally incorrect.
That's not true. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, everyone hits a wall. Everyone will hit a wall in this journey. And if you do not look for outside help, you may stay in that very like stagnant energy of like, I don't know how to get the deeper stuff out, or I don't know which direction to head in next, and I don't know what the next focus needs to be. And so, we've all been there.
Yes. So I want to go back to the definition of ego. I'm going to explore this from two perspectives. So I mentioned earlier that there's like a clinical definition and then there's a spiritual definition. Some of you guys might be familiar with the whole concept of the id, the ego, and the superego, which were terms that were coined by Sigmund Freud, prominent psychologist. And from the clinical perspective, the ego is that the personality aspects that strikes a balance between the demands of the id, which is like your primal urges, and then the superego, which is your moral conscience. So Freud believed that the ego relies on very specific defense mechanisms, so denial and repression, to protect us from things like distress, which makes total sense, especially based on, you know, my experience. In everyday usage, the ego represents a sense of self-importance, ultimately speaking, which, you know, makes total sense. Now, when you go over to the spiritual definition, it's similar, but there's like, it's a little bit more succinct. So from a spiritual perspective, when we say ego, essentially all we mean is your belief of who you believe yourself to be, which means like, your beliefs as far as how you carry yourself, your personality, your worth, your abilities. Essentially, everything that makes you you and what your beliefs are when it comes to that concept. That's really all it is from a spiritual perspective. But sometimes spirituality will go a little bit deeper than that. And when you really look at what the ego is, again, from a spiritual perspective, it's ultimately anything that keeps you from realizing your best and highest potential. So when we're using the term ego, that's ultimately what we mean, is those aspects of yourself that stop you from becoming your true self. I hope that makes sense.
I think that's one aspect of spiritual ego, but there is also this other side of spiritual ego where there's spiritual superiority and like judging others for being less awakened, lack of self-awareness. I think those are also a completely different side of spiritual ego that people should be aware of.
Yes, of course. And ultimately, when we're talking about things like that, like those features and traits that Ali was referring to, those are distractions, ultimately are distractions from your spiritual journey and what you're meant to achieve. So again, anything that interferes or blocks or prevents or distracts from your ascension and your evolution and your expansion can technically be considered ego. Now, I don't want to say that the ego is a bad thing, because I think I've gotten, like in the past, I've kind of gotten confused when it comes to ego, because I'm like, oh, well, it sounds like the ego is a bad thing and I need to like repress it or clear it or something. Is the ego like a wound? Like, I didn't quite understand what ego meant. And so like my whole thing was like, oh, well, I got to like get rid of it. But that's not what we're saying here. And that's not how it works. The ego just needs to sometimes be balanced. It's more or less you're looking at those aspects that are interfering with your expansion and taming them, so to speak.
You'll never be able to kill the ego. There was like this whole, I don't want to say movement, but I have seen like a lot of talk about people being like, well, if you want to take the spiritual journey, then you have to learn how to kill your ego.
Right. And I'm like, that's not.
And I'm like, that's not how that works. Like you, yeah. The ego is a part of you, and the ego is actually a drive, right? And so like people, if you utilize the ego wrong in the way of being like, well, I want to beat everyone else and I'm better than everyone else and I want to win at all costs, or I want to, you know, I can do it better. Those are the negative sides of ego. But the positive sides of the ego is like, you know, you wanting to be a better person. It's just about harnessing the ego for the good versus, you know, the more competitive side, the more me, me, me side. Like if you harness the ego correctly, you can build your ego. You can incorporate the ego to help you become the best version of yourself. It's just, I don't think people know how to harness it and change that perspective and use it in different ways that it can be also used for.
You know, you were talking about killing the ego. I hear the term, especially when it comes to psychedelic experiences, people who take psychedelics on a macro level and have these profound journeys, you'll often hear the term ego death when it comes to those experiences. And like, you're not, the term is kind of a misnomer, because that's not really what's happening. Essentially what's happening is the ego is getting set aside. It's not, you're not killing the ego permanently. But when you're able to do that, that's when you can get to the deeper layers of yourself that need attention. It's difficult to do that when your ego is standing in the way. So oftentimes you'll hear like kill the ego or ego death. I guess it's more of an expression. It's not to say that the ego is actually being killed or destroyed in any type of way. So I just want to clarify that, because we do hear those two terms often.
Tara made a very good point there. And the ego is a very, it's a masculine energy, right? It comes from the right side.
The ego? Yeah, I think it comes from the solar plexus chakra.
Okay.
Is it solar plexus chakra, I believe?
It yes, because that's the masculine.
The masculine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the ego is a very mental body trait. And it's tied to our mental body, right? And so we have the masculine energy and we have the feminine energy. And the masculine is like the ego, the pride. And then we have the emotional side of the body, which like runs more out of like the heart chakra. And, you know, the heart chakra, meaning you should be in tune with your emotions, but also from the feminine energy, which is the sacral chakra, the second chakra. That is, so that's like where the essence of, you know, femininity and emotions and unity and love. And so I feel like in today's society, like so many people are operating outside of their masculine energy, as we've discussed in previous episodes, that the emotional side, which is actually what you want to tap into if you really want to like do the shadow work and go into your transformational journey through your ascension, you really won't need to be operating out of your feminine, not your masculine.
Yes. And we have talked about in prior episodes how so many people, and women too, are operating out of their masculine energy, out of their solar plexus chakra. And that's the kind of stuff that leads to burnout. I did it for many, many, many years. So full disclosure, I am a split soul and I am the mental body of the splits. So my split soul is the emotional body. And this is actually a really recent revelation because I didn't know when souls split that they split into a mental aspect and an emotional aspect. That's really interesting, but it's not a good thing when that happens because now you're a half of a whole that's missing your other parts. So for me, as the mental body, I have operated mostly from a mental space. And that included mostly operating from the ego, from that sense of pride and power and control. I'm a total type A personality. I'm sure the fact that I'm a split soul has a lot to do with that. The fact that I'm a mental body probably has even more to do with that. But I've always operated that way. And for a long time, I didn't realize that drive and that, you know, desire and need to push myself and that restlessness and the need for control and to be in control of the situation and to be able to anticipate, that was all rooted in fear. I didn't know that for a really long time. I was operating consciously from a place of fear at the conscious level, but I didn't know that because the ego was in the way. So I burnt out many times. Funny, because every time I burn out, I just get so irritated. I'm just like, no, we can keep doing this. And then my body's like, go fuck yourself. And I'm just like, okay. So I've been forced into a space a couple times where I've had to humble myself and I've had to say, okay, let's stop, let's sit back, let's reevaluate. Because you can only push yourself so far before you get hit with consequences. Like, you know, and I did the same thing with bodybuilding. Pushed myself and pushed myself and pushed myself because for me, bodybuilding gave me a sense of worth and it gave me a sense of pride. And the crazy thing about bodybuilding is that I don't know that there's any sport that's more egoic than bodybuilding. Like, the entire premise behind it is how you look. Like, I just, when I was doing it, I loved it. Like, oh my God, it was like the biggest freaking high ever. But now that I look back on it, I'm just like, so you're being judged strictly by how you look and comparing each other on stage strictly by how they look, not based on any deeper qualities or traits or other meaningful assets. It's just physical. And I don't know that it gets any more shallow than that. But hey, I freaking was obsessed. I did it for 5 years until I burnt out and had to step back and reevaluate. And interestingly enough, the time that I burnt out was like the exact time that I had my initial awakening. So things happen for a reason. I know that happened for a reason. I have been redirected multiple times. And I finally get into a place where I'm realizing the effect that ego has had on me throughout my life. So it can look something like that, your journey. It can look like you doing things and putting your energy and focus and mental power into things that are strictly serving your ego. And that could be something you're doing as a result of wounding. So that's why we wanted to talk about ego, because it can definitely help you or it can hinder you. So I hope that gives a little bit of perspective.
I think everyone has been in similar positions, right? Where if you are type A and if you have that super competitive edge and, you know, if you've done competitive sports, if you, you know, are trying to, you know, it could be as simple as trying to get your boss's attention, or, you know, you want to look good to a company and you want to climb the ladder, or you want to be number one in the sport, or, you know, you want to thrive to be the best at whatever you're trying to do, that is all for your ego.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that, right? Because, like, you're just thinking, like, to you, it's just like, no, like, I want to be the top salesperson, or I want to, you know, I want to stand out at my job. Like, I want to do my job well. And so, like, you think that you're, like, serving yourself by, you know, becoming the top salesperson or by making yourself stand out. But it also takes, what a lot of people don't understand is the amount of, unless you're a natural, which a lot of people aren't, like, a lot of people have to hone their skills. A lot of people put themselves under so much stress and so much anxiety, and you're, you know, it becomes like a little game to you, like chess, like moving pieces. How can I be better? How can I be faster? Where can I make improvements? And the amount of stress and anxiety that you actually put your body through to become the number one. And I'm not saying it's not great to be number one. I'm certainly absolutely not saying that. But I think it's an example of, like, you have to look at what you're doing to your body, what you're doing to your mental health to get there. And once once you're there, it feels really fucking good. But what are all of the consequences of pushing your body that way, or pushing your mind that way, or dedicating all this time and energy into something?
Yeah. You know, and that's something I had to think about with bodybuilding, because I got to this place where I was like, okay, I want to get to the next level. I started off as a figure competitor in the NPC, or the National Physique Committee. And the NPC is the amateur division, and then the IFBB is the pro division. So I was like, well, I want to be a pro. And in this division, it's very difficult to go pro without using performance enhancers. It's just almost impossible, especially now. Maybe back 10 years ago it was easier, but these days, especially even at the amateur level, they're all using enhancers. And it used to just be the pros using enhancers. Now you're seeing it not only at the national level amateur divisions and competitions, but at the regional levels where you start, you're seeing people using performance enhancers. And it's so infiltrated at this point that it's like, well, if you want to compete and be successful, that's what you're going to have to do when it comes to, particularly in the NPC, when it comes to bodybuilding. And I was ready to do it. Like, I was literally like looking at enhancers and looking at coaches and like, okay, well, which coach is going to recommend the best stack for me so I can get yoked? The only reason why I didn't go that route is because my husband was like, there's no fucking way you're doing that. Bless his heart, he softened me, because we got into a whole fight about it and he convinced me not to do it. But yeah, it's I think about these kids and they're young, like in their 20s, and they're stacking these substances because they want to be number one. And I'm just like, man, I can't imagine the damage you're doing to your body at such a young age. And when it comes to some of these stacks that these guys are doing, they're insane. And there are dozens and dozens of chemicals, testosterone, and the damage that this stuff does to your body is, it's irreversible in many cases. That's why for the last 2-3 years, we've seen so many bodybuilders dropping dead, because these enhancers have kind of gotten to this place now where they're so incredibly dangerous that we're seeing this trend of, as morbid as it sounds, bodybuilders dying. It's been going on for a couple of years now. You know, it's just kind of the kind of thing where we've seen like people who were champions for years, well-known champs, just die out of nowhere. And it's been a big shock to the sport. And I'm hoping at some point they will start to step back and say, okay, we need to reevaluate what we're doing to ourselves. I don't know that they've gotten there yet, but it's really sad. And, you know, I'm really glad that I stepped back when I did and got a bigger perspective, because I was headed down that path. And I'm fortunate that I had someone who turned me in another direction.
And you have to ask yourself, like, how many people do you have who has, like, enough knowledge to be able to just say, like, this isn't worth it? Because I feel like so many people are put, like, you know, like, when somebody, I used to be this way. When I had a goal, I would not stop until I achieved that goal. I didn't care if I lost sleep. I didn't care what I had to do. Like, every goal that I had set for myself, like, I was going to hit that mark. And I like, my mind, my stress, my anxiety, like, all of that got pushed aside as long as I, like, reached that goal.
Same. I was just like that.
Right. And now we have to look at the way that the world is, right? And, like, people are being backed into corners where people, you know, even if they don't want to be working three jobs, are working three jobs, right? And so it's just interesting to see the dynamic now where, like, I feel like people had more choices, like, back then, like, even 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, versus, it's like necessity versus want. Like, necessity versus ego. And I feel like for me, like, my ego was driving me in places that I look back and I was just like, you know, it's really cool that I've accomplished all that. Like, I feel very accomplished, but at what cost? And I know Tiara has, you know, based on her story, I know that she had that exact same question.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I still follow the bodybuilding industry. I love watching the Olympia every single year. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love seeing their beautiful bodies and the dedication and the hard work and the effort that they put into their physiques. But it's almost like I have this inner conflict because I'm like, I know what they're doing to their bodies to get there. And I admire this. But at the same time, I'm concerned for these athletes, you know? So it's a strange place to be admiring and also be like worried. And I don't quite know how to like navigate that exactly. It's just, I just know that I'm a very aesthetic person. I like pretty things. I like stuff that's interesting, that looks good. And I think bodybuilders are beautiful. Their physiques are amazing. I have seen chatter in the industry from a couple top athletes that have stepped back because they recognize the path that they were on. And, you know, I think of one very known, well-known athlete who was a figure competitor. She was at the pro level, one of the best physiques in the physique division that I think we've seen in years, who stepped back because she was like, I have been doing performance enhancers for years. I'm stopping right now because I'm young and I don't want to destroy my body. She said that publicly. And people were like, okay, that's you. Kind of sad, but that's you. I really, really hope that we see more of that. And I really hope that, you know, we see, again, I'm specifically talking about bodybuilding, we see a shift. You know, you could probably say when it comes to a lot of the professional sports that they're all using performance enhancers at some level purely for egoic intent. Like, there's no other reason why they would need to do this except to satisfy the ego. I think of the Olympics. I think of a lot of the things that these kids are doing to get there, again, purely for egoic purposes. But I hope that on a broader scale, we'll start to really step back and say, okay, at what cost are we doing this?
Right. And I think that people need to really explore like what the ego does to the body. And there's so many different stresses that we put on our body. There's physical stress. There's emotional stress. There is, it depends on the goal, but a lot of sleepless nights. And so if you take all that stress, it's going to affect you in very different ways. Like, it could affect your digestive system. It's going to affect your organs. It can affect your own mental health. And I don't think people, I think people who are just in it and on the go, 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 just ignore all of those signs.
And they do.
That will always catch up to you. In some form or another, it will always catch up to you.
You know, I think about women specifically who are ego-driven and they're living from their masculine energy. They're living from their solar plexus chakra. And when you do that for a very, very long time and you're success-driven, you're driven by the egoic need to succeed, to perform, to be on top, to, you know, become a director or a manager or, you know, show that you got what it takes. Ellie's right that, yes, that eventually does catch up to you, but I think we underestimate the effect that that also has on the body, specifically for women, because when you're talking about overloading the solar plexus chakra, you're talking about affecting the body's endocrine system, digestive system, the body's reproductive system, kidneys, liver, and that causes a whole host of issues in the body because those organs are very, very important. And energetically speaking, they serve so many different purposes. So when you disrupt that, it has devastating consequences. I can speak to that. I can attest to that. I am still healing from that. I don't know if I ever fully will. But one of the reasons why I want to put together a coaching program around burnout is because of the way burnout has affected me, some of the things I've learned. And I don't really want to see that happen to other women. Like, I really, really don't. So when it comes to, you know, being a woman and feeling like you need to live from your masculine, I think it's important that you take a step back and reevaluate not only why you're doing what you're doing, but if there's something underneath that that's actually driving your need to do that outside of just the need to pay your bills. Because oftentimes when you do that self-reflection, you will find other things.
I agree with that. I do think that our ego tells us that things have to be done a very certain way in order to survive or in order to succeed. Yeah. And I think that we get lost in that thought process. We're just like, okay, especially if you're a single woman or a single woman with kids, it's like or even single men with kids. But it's just kind of like, you know, you're putting your focus on all this outerly stuff, and it's all outerly stuff. It's all, you know, what's on my calendar, what needs to be done, like, do I have to go grocery shopping, did I pay my bills, you know, how much money is my bank account. Like, we're all so focused on just surviving,
yeah,
that our entire like we neglect our own self needs. Like, all of our self needs gets neglected. And that's when our body starts like freaking out on us saying, hello, have you forgotten about us? Like, hello, like, I'm not well. And that's why a lot of times stress will show in the body, like in physical form. And it usually will start in physical form first before things get a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, I totally did that. As a bodybuilder, my ego was so big. I was like, oh, I don't need to stretch. Like, stretching's for bitches. And, like, I would see people doing CrossFit, and I'd be like, oh, CrossFit is for sissies. That was terrible. But, like, it affected my body, and my body is definitely not the same. And if you speak to a lot of athletes, especially elite athletes, you know, the ones that are going to the Olympics or doing, like, world championships, oftentimes these guys do permanent damage to their bodies to get where they are. They don't tell you that. That's the stuff that kind of gets slipped under the rug. It's not very well discussed. I hear about this a lot with figure skaters, like ice skaters, and particularly the ones coming out of Russia, and how the coaches push them at such young ages. I'm talking like 12, 13, 14 years old, to these levels that are just insane. And some of these women who have retired, quote unquote, at the age of like 20 will say they've done so because their bodies are completely destroyed. And that's sad.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so sad.
That's what gymnasts do. They all retire in like their teens, early 20s.
Yes. And I'm and just then, like, why? Why are we doing this to ourselves?
Right. I mean, yeah, there's gymnasts who retire early. As you said, figure skaters who retire early. There are so many professional athletes that need to retire early because, like, it's so demanding on the body. And you're, like, tearing up your body from the age of 5.
Oh, yeah. Right. And I'm just like, man, like, we got to do better, guys. Like, why? I mean, so you're doing all this to yourself for a medal. For a medal. Why? Is that medal going to go with you when you die? Like, what? I don't know. I struggle to wrap my mind around some of this stuff. And especially now that I've had, like, a new perspective when it comes to that egoic need to and drive to succeed. I just wonder, like, what do people think they're getting out of this? I think that it's worth it to sacrifice your well-being.
Well, I also definitely think some of it's cultural. And
yeah, absolutely is, especially in the West.
Well, cultural in the sense of, like, I'm just thinking about, we're going to shift focus here for a second. Koreans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Korea is a struggling country for many different reasons, but the pressure, like, I taught English in Korea for a year. And I got to tell you, like, the pressure that, like, everything is so based on image in Korea that it's like, you know, these kids are put through rigorous schedules so they can get into the top school. And if they don't get into the top schools, then they are considered, quote unquote, a failure. And, like, there is so much pressure on their parents. Like, you don't disappoint us. Like, we want to brag about you. We want to, like, you know, we invest so much time and energy into you. And, like, this is why, like, Korea has, like, one of the, if not the highest suicide rate in the world, because of all the pressure and all the stress, because kids cannot keep up with these expectations that their parents are putting on them. And it's just so sad to see that, like, it's just coming out of, it's not coming out of their ego, but it's coming out of, like, you know, making my parents proud. And, like, you know, this is the way it is in Korea. And image is really important. Like, image is the number one thing in Korea. And so, like, these people are putting themselves in massive amount of debts and, like, buying these designer things that they can't afford. And most of them are living at home and they're depressed and they're not in the top school and they feel, like, inadequate and they feel like a failure. And so it's really interesting how, like, that's just a very cultural thing that isn't driven by ego, but these kids feel the pressure that they're like, oh my God, like, we have to thrive to be in the top school, because if we're not in one of the top schools, then we're not going to get a job. And so the imbalance there is just really, really sad.
When you see some of that in the West, I don't think you see it to that degree. I mean, you know, in the West, like, I'm of the belief that our education system is failing en masse. But so I don't think we're seeing it at that level. But we do see, like, that whole concept of particularly geared toward women. I don't know why this is being geared toward women. That you can get ahead, that you can have it all, that you can go, you know, become that director, and that you can buy a house and have a family too. And, you know, you should strive for that, and you're capable of that, and you deserve that, and go get it, girl. And I think that that too, in some ways, has been internalized by many women. I know I internalized that, and I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm gonna go friggin' start my own business, you know, and, like, be the director, and everyone can listen to me. So I think there's some of that in the West too, particularly when it came to pushing women into the workforce and, like, pushing them to, you know, climb that corporate ladder. Again, I don't know why it was necessarily geared toward women, but if you're a conspiracy theorist, you will think that it's because they wanted more taxable income. Maybe. I don't quite know. But I know that some of that subliminal messaging was geared toward women and encouraging women to climb the corporate ladder and to have it all and to be it all. And that in and of itself is a lot of pressure for any woman, for any person, let alone feeling like you need to be able to have a job and be married and have kids and have a hot body and keep up with the demands of the household and have hobbies too. That's crazy. Crazy.
Well, which is why we're seeing people so burnt out, right? Like, I think one good thing that did come out of the pandemic is that it finally gave, I mean, I wish more people reflected during the pandemic, but it finally gave people like a moment to step back and realize how burnt out they were.
Right. And that's why so many of them were like, no, we're not going back to work in the office full time. Like, I like my telecommuting. Fuck you.
Right. And so, I mean, it's just, I think it's really important that people bring self-awareness to the ego and look for those signs that are ego driven. Because if you don't have that self-awareness and if you don't know like what's driving you, then it's going to be really hard to break those cycles.
It is. It absolutely is. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, some of those cycles might be driven by wounding or by repressed emotion or by other things. You never know. So that's what typically happens when, particularly for me, when the universe cog blocks you, but also when you get to that space of burnout, that's your body saying, hey, we need to look elsewhere for why you're doing what you're doing. It's almost like a defensive, protective mechanism, you know? So that's one way to look at it. Especially if you were like me and, you know, when you couldn't push yourself anymore, you got irritated. I'm over that, by the way, mostly.
Well, that's good. Because before, like, I was helping navigate Tiara through her burnout. And, like, she was getting all these signs and she was like, Allie, nothing's working. I'm not really understanding this. And I was just like, I think it's a sign from the universe. And she was like, no, fuck that. she was just like, so you want to know what I did? She was like, I doubled down. And I was like, you did what? And she was like, I doubled down. And I was like, that is the complete opposite thing of what the universe wanted you to do and what you're supposed to do.
Yes. So if you're getting signs of burnouts, if you're tired, if you are seeing that things aren't working out, if you're getting depressed, moody, you're seeing health issues start to pop up here and there, you are losing motivation, those are signs to step back. Don't be like me and ignore it all.
And try to double down.
No.
I was like, and here's the thing about her doubling down. It wasn't working even further, and she was getting more annoyed.
And I was so pissed off. I don't think I've been this irritated and pissed off in a very long time. But it was only stuff I was doing to myself at the end of the day. So that's why I say, if you get those first initial signs that you're being pushed in a different direction, heed that. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse for you. Trust me.
Yeah. And so, like, for the next, like, few days, like, talking to DR was tough because I had to help navigate her through, like, what the universe is trying to tell her, where she needs to look, you know, what's going on with her body. And she was just like, well, I appreciate all the information, but I'm still annoyed.
Yes, I was actually for days.
Exactly.
And that was my ego, right? That was my ego saying, like, no, we need to keep pushing. 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 But at the end of the day, the ego was simply stopping me from doing deeper inner reflection. And I didn't know that, which is why I was saying earlier, hey, sometimes when you're driven to do these things and you're pushing yourself and you're ignoring your body and your needs, maybe there's something underneath that needs to be explored.
Yeah, it's a guys. It took a week, probably a good solid week of you know, helping her navigate through this. But now she's like coming to a place of acceptance, and now she's actually seeing like what she was doing to her body. And, you know, she was like, oh, there's some shit in there that I didn't even know that was there, but
had no idea, like no clue that any of that stuff was there.
Right. And now that she does know that some of it's there, now she's like, oh, no wonder I feel like shit.
Right. Exactly. So please do heed that advice. I hate to see people burn out because it's so rough, especially for women. You know, I feel like men can bounce back easier. I don't know what it is. I guess because men are, you know, they're men, they're masculines. They seem to not be as impacted with by burnout as women are. Women, we, oh man, it affects us. It affects us deeply. And it's a long, long recovery. So I really don't want to see that happen to more women. You know, hence, again, why I'm exploring creating a program to not only help women escape burnout, but heed the signs if they see them in their life and recover as well. No launch time for that. It'll probably be the summer, just FYI.
Something to look forward to. But I think it is really important to highlight like how the ego can either motivate you or how it can really hinder you, because I feel like it does hinder more people than it does motivate. For me, I used it as motivation, but obviously I was paying consequences like with my body. But I will say that I have redirected and navigated my ego to work with my body. And I feel like everyone really needs to get to that place and understand how to navigate that journey to get to that place, because you're never going to kill it. There is no ego death. It's just something that you really need to learn how to navigate and work with.
Absolutely. Now, if you are in this place where you're like, okay, I see what I'm doing to myself, I need to step back, but now I want to know why I'm pushing myself to this level, what is underneath there? You can, there are several things that you can do. I mean, for myself, I'm exploring multiple modalities. So I'm looking into microdosing. I've done some inner exploration with like emotional discovery. I've done some energetic clearings. I'm doing actually several more of those. You can find a spiritual coach. You can do emotional freedom technique. Or I mentioned this prior that there is a another modality that is quantum change process, I believe is what it's called, that is geared towards getting to the deepest layers, the deeper underlying layers, and clearing what's there quickly. You can do hypnosis. There are lots of things that you can do to start to do the deeper inner exploration. It's just going to be a matter of finding the modality that aligns with you, that resonates with you, and that works for you. Or combine modalities. That's what I'm going to do. So there are things you can do. It's just going to be a matter of doing the research and seeing what aligns.
Absolutely. I think for me, I've had to do a combination of things like hypnotherapy, EFT. EFT is a trip, man. I'll tell you that. I also have like done some of the psychedelic work. I taught myself how to meditate. Trust me, that was not easy.
Oh yeah.
It's not easy.
It wasn't for me. Yeah. And it's still not easy for me.
Yeah. But I've taught myself how to meditate, and like, I got to tell you, once you learn how to do it, it's fantastic. But teaching yourself to do it is miserable.
It really is. Sorry, I hate to say that. No, it sucks. Especially if you have a hyperactive mind.
Exactly.
And that's what's hard to tame, because I had a super active mind. I actually had to learn how to stop the chatter in my mind before I can even think about meditation. And sometimes you might have to do that.
Right. But meditation is actually a very wonderful tool. So is also breath work. So,
oh, yes.
Like, these are things that you can teach yourself, like hit some YouTube videos and like, because I know money's tight. So there are things that you can be doing that are very low cost and or free if you want to, you know, just have a starting point, a place to start, and just you'd be surprised like what comes up and what manifests. Like when you just start to look inwards and you make the personal choice of, it's time to start working on me. I don't want to be living this way anymore. I don't want to be feeling this way anymore. I want to learn how to clear it. Like, that's what you should be using your ego to motivate you for. It's just being like, I want something different in my life. I don't want to be worried all the time. I don't want to have all this anxiety all the time. Unless you are willing to put in some type of work for yourself, you do it for yourself, it's not going to go away on its own. Like, the effort and the work has to be put in.
Agreed. You know, you were talking about breathing exercises. I could sing the praises all day long about the Wim Hof method, which is, it's a breathing technique that was pioneered by a man named Wim Hof. And it's essentially what you're doing is you're doing these exercises where you're breathing deeply. You do 30 rounds of that, and then you hold, and it's supposed to force oxygen into the tissues. And I freaking love it. I love it. And I'm getting to a point where I'm able to like hold my breath longer and longer. And typically, I think starting it's 3 rounds, but you can go further just depending on how comfortable you are. And eventually there are people who say that they can hold their breath for like 2 minutes. And I'm just like, wow. So that might be something worth exploring. I know some people will do it with the other techniques that he recommends, like the ice baths. I don't do the ice baths. I just do the breathing, and it's fantastic. It's like a total nervous system reset. And so that might be worth exploring if that's something you might be interested in.
Total nervous system reset is really important. I don't think people like understand how important that really is. I find all that work really, really fascinating because we are made up of neurons, you know. It's like when you look at the anatomy, and it's just like when you start to look at healing in a different way, and when you start to look at your body in a completely different way, and when you look into these modalities, it's just like it's amazing how your body can transform with just a little bit of education and a little bit of hard work.
Definitely.
So it's really cool just to see how that transformation takes place.
So I hope that this was helpful for you guys. I know we've talked about ego on this podcast a couple times, but I hope that this particular episode gives you a little bit of a different perspective in regards to how ego can affect you, how it can affect your health, your body, your mental states. Again, we're here to help you guys. We don't, you know, want to see you guys burning out like we did. So please do heed some of this guidance. And of course, if you have any questions, you guys can reach us on our emails. Our emails are listed on our website, goddessvibrationstudio.com. So please reach out if you need some additional support. We're here for you guys.
Yeah. And feel free to like comment, like feel free to comment and like leave us some feedback. Like we love hearing from you guys. We love to like read your reviews. We love to hear your input. I mean, Tiara and I are really here to service you. So if there's something specific you want to talk about, or if you have questions, like don't be shy. Like please reach out to us.
By the way, if you want to leave that message in Spanish or in Espanol, that is perfectly fine. Please do.
Yes, please do. Well, thank you, everyone. I hope you guys all have a great week. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.